Most of it I'm going to let you interpret on your own. But I do want to take a look at the way Jesus underlined that whole exchange. Let me make sure I get this correct here. I better turn right to it. Don't want to be misquoting Jesus. All right. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The very last sentence of the gospel reading today. So I want to look at that with you. But you know, in the meantime, just I'm going to make sure I ask you this as well. Yeah, I hope you've been enjoying the Pope on TV. He's been visiting America this week. Yeah, a lot of fun, awful lot of fun. So I don't have anything else to say about that, but I'm glad you've been catching it. It's quite something, actually. So today we're going to be looking at this idea that Jesus gives us. Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another. And what we're going to do is really tie up the nobodies of the New Testament as we've been looking at them and see how we would operate together in the four dynamics that we've looked at, up, in, out, and of. And we've seen a nobody of the New Testament for each one. And this particular one, have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another, is really the thread, you might say, that goes through the whole church and enables us to do what we've seen in each of these nobodies. And as I was thinking about this week, I was reminded of a young family that was in our church some years ago, back when we were serving in Pennsylvania. And it was just an awful thing that happened to this young family. They already had two children, and the third child was born, but was born with a heart defect that had not been detected until after the child was born. And this baby didn't last a full day before dying. So you know, it was just heartbreaking and tragic. And we did our best, of course, as we prepared for the funeral. Mostly me, I guess I was the one preparing mostly for the funeral. I had no idea what to say, what to preach about, what to share. Just no idea. And then this thought came to my mind, for which I take absolutely no credit. No one ever told it to me. It was the Spirit of God totally and completely that this thought entered my mind. And that is, how did this young little girl, less than a day old, know Jesus? We would have no way of confirming it with her, of course. But this idea came to my mind. In that short amount of time, this newborn being held close to her mother would have known the provision and the love of God through her mother. And then when her father, who was a big, strong guy, took this child in his arms, would have known the power and protection of God through her father. Even if she couldn't express it or even understand it, not that we can, but that was it. That's what came to my mind. And I could tell that the family, the young mother and father and the others around, gained something from that. And that was really the salt, you might say, that they were receiving. There was salt among us, among ourselves there. That it was the presence of Jesus in that manner. And I was so thankful to the Lord for that, that God would have dropped that into my mind and that I was able to share it. It did mean a great deal for them. It was something to hold on to. As the weeks went on after that, as you could imagine, it was just awful, just so heartbreaking. And this family had a lot of difficulty over the next few weeks and months and for some time, just with the stages of grief and the depth of it for them. And we never did get to having peace with one another. It's not that they argued with us or were conflicted. None of that was going on. There was just not a state of peace. And eventually, some years later, they overcame it and they had another child and so forth and were doing well. But during that season, that period, there was no way for them to experience peace. And as I look back on those past years, that's the one thing that I wished we would have been able to give to them or to share with them, is having peace among ourselves. And I think the key would have been this. We were unable to share with them or communicate in any way what a family who is following Jesus that is now heartbroken and grieving at a depth we can't even imagine, what they do to follow Jesus in that situation. Which was what they needed. What does a family who is now brokenhearted at that depth do to follow Jesus? And we never got to that. I don't think they would have had any less pain or any less turmoil or any less grief. But there would be something about the peace that comes with Jesus that they would have experienced, even though it may not have looked peaceful from the way we define peaceful, but it would have been for them. So that's my one regret with that. It's the one thing I think that Jesus still is ministering to them, and perhaps to many others that you know as you begin thinking about this and you see it, that salt by itself does so much. Salt and peace is what brings us to the place that Jesus is preparing for us. And that's what I want to look at today. A salty peace, if you will, of what that's like. And it really is a manner and a way in which we are able to access and engage with those dynamics we've looked at the past few weeks, where we're up, in and out, up in worship to the God, gives us that sanctity, that holiness, the power of his life. In the fellowship brings us a solidity with each other and through each other, the solidity of God. That's where we get it. Out brings us that purpose, reaching those that God would have us reach, reaching out into the world to the ones that God has put on our hearts and minds. By the way, that is one of the most powerful dynamics in which people remain, they find their way in to a church fellowship and remain rooted. It is reaching out to those that God sends you out to. And then also the of, which is the entire church worldwide, as well as regionally, that we have these open relationships with. And you may have felt that as you watched the Pope on TV this week. There's an of that's going on here, even though I may not be a Roman Catholic, there's still something here, which is great. So all of that is what Jesus calls us to, and it is the salt and the peace that helps us to walk in it deeply and richly and fully. So how does that work? So Jesus says, first of all, have salt amongst yourselves. So salt in that day when Jesus was describing that to those who were around him would have been quite different from the way we are thinking about it today. Usually, probably many of us gathered here today, when we're thinking of salt, we're thinking about how the doctor told us not to have so much salt because of what it's going to do to you. And be careful with that. However, in Jesus' day, as you know, there was no refrigeration. So salt was one of the primary means of preserving food over a long period of time, especially in a very hot and dry climate. And so it preserved the food, and as we're used to today, it brings out the taste, brings out the flavor. For us to have salt among us means that we are preserved in the love of God, and that who we truly are, what God created us to be, comes out more and more. It's released more and more completely, more richly to those around us and into the world. To be able to receive from Jesus his word, his presence, his healing, his grace, everything that he has for you, he desires for you to have, is to receive his salt and to become salty, in which you are preserved in his hands, and who you are comes out as more fully every day. It's new every day. In fact, as the Bible says, new every morning are the mercies of the Lord. That's what he does with us personally and sometimes in our fellowship with one another. That's what's going on. That's what it is to have salt among ourselves, where we continue in that hope that we'll be with him forever. And we are encouraged to be exactly who Jesus created us to be. That runs very deep. Something he desires for us to have. And then on top of that, he says to have peace with one another. Now that peace is more than the absence of conflict. The absence of conflict goes a long way to have peace, but it's more than the absence of conflict. It's a wholeness. It's an experience of a wholeness that in which you prosper and the group you're in prospers. Shalom is the Hebrew idea. For those of you who speak Hebrew, it's being whole, full, well, strong. And that can happen in any kind of circumstance. And that peace is something that we have together, in which your hope in Jesus and who you were created to be is released as fully as possible. So it's not just your individual prayers where you become salty in the presence of Jesus that is working. It's within each other that there is an environment created in which our hope and our ministry, our calling, actually takes shape. There's flesh and bones that start growing up around who we are and what we are meant to be and how God would have us be that way. It's a very, very powerful thing to which we are called. And it's something that overcomes what comes against us. It's becoming more and more like Jesus when we have that salt and that peace amongst ourselves. Now, I think one of the main questions is, how do we get that? How do we get that? We've already hinted at the salt in your prayer time, in your worship time, in the way that you engage with the scriptures, all the disciplines that you become familiar with as you go along in the church, that helps you to become salty. And as you cultivate that, as you deepen your life in that, you do become saltier. And you do become more like Jesus, just in the way that that goes. In fact, as you get some depth in your prayer, hearing what Jesus is praying and echoing that, and as you get some depth in understanding the Bible, letting it form you as you read it, what happens is you get to the place where you're always salty. Jesus says, you know, if salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? And the way salt lost its saltiness in that culture was this. There'd be piles of salt in places. And the layers on the top would have lost their saltiness from being weathered. You know, the rain and the sun and who knows what else would have happened to it. So you had to go deep into the pile to get the salt that is any good. As you enter into those prayers, that engagement with the Word, your worship here, you're entering more deeply into the saltiness that Jesus has for you. And then who you are, who you were created to be, starts coming forth more deeply and more richly and more completely, or whatever way you would like it to have come forward. It just keeps coming forward that way. And then as we do that together, we encourage each other in that together, there is that wholeness that is among us, that wholeness that enables everybody here to be able to come forward, to be able to worship with all they have, to be able to hold one another up in very, very powerful ways, to be able to reach out very specifically to the people God has asked you to reach out to, and to be able to do it with power and grace and gentleness as well. And then to be connected to the rest of the church, no matter what our disagreements are, And, you know, we could list them out, but we don't have to. We're connected to the church. We prefer being here, but we're connected to the rest of the church. As all that goes on, we have salt and peace among us. And you and I become more and more like Jesus together. That's what he desires for us to know and be like and walk in. That becomes the picture of who we are. That becomes the picture of not only ourselves individually, but this whole church fellowship. One that is seasoned with salt and is filled with peace. Now, there's one other image I want you to have that will help us really grab a hold of this. And then there were two uses of salt in that time period that we don't use that for today at all. At least I don't think we do. And one was the covenant. There was the salt at the covenant. And when two countries made a covenant, usually the bigger country went to the smaller country and say, "You're coming with me." And they didn't go to war over it. They had a covenant. And they became one new country. And the two kings would meet and have an agreement, shake hands, whatever it was, and salt would be thrown. That meant that a covenant was struck that would last forever. That something new that had never existed before was now beginning and would last into eternity. At least that was the desire. That's the way it is with us. Jesus drops something in to your heart or your mind as you're praying. That is meant to last forever, because the word of the Lord will last forever. It will form you forever. That saltiness will be with you like that forever. And then when we share that together, that peace that passes understanding will go forever. Now, the second thing salt was used for that it's not used for today is a declaration of military victory. So if a king conquered a city, then what he would do was have his soldiers come with a whole lot of salt and sprinkle it all over the ground of that city. And the reason for that was it was a sign that what used to grow out of the ground in that area would no longer grow. And that made the way for something new to grow, because there was a new king and a new government. And it would never end. That was the intention. Just as when Jesus came into the world, came into our lives, there was a new king. So the gospel is the announcement of a new king. It's a political statement. And when that announcement comes and the king takes over, there is something that begins and lasts forever. Salt represented that in both of those instances, the covenant as well as the military victory. When you receive from Jesus what he has you receive from the word or however you receive it, there is something in you that when it is shared in the fellowship, and the fellowship encourages you in it and you encourage others in it, then what the church releases into the community is something that will last forever. It is meant to start now into eternity. It is the word of the Lord coming forth to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. For us, the purpose for which we are sent and carrying that word and showing that grace and showing that life is to invite everyone around into the family of God, into his household, into the place of his healing and his provision and his mercy, to receive all who would come. And we carry that to the ones he desires for us to bring it to. That, I believe, is what he would have for everyone in the church, whether you're a nobody of the New Testament or a very prominent Christian known worldwide. It is to have salt and peace. Now the challenge for us this morning is this. How does God want you to be more salty? What step would He have you take to become saltier? To preserve more of what He's given you? To bring out the presence of the Spirit with those who are around you? What step would He have you take? What more would He have you do to have peace amongst ourselves, with one another? Either of those two categories, is there something God is asking you to personally do? A step you would personally take? Pray about it. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have called us to have salt and peace amongst ourselves. We ask that You would guide us to that place, draw that out from us, put us into the position to receive everything You desire, and send us into the places You've prepared. We ask that today for the glory of Your name. Amen.